Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Yesterday was minicamp day two for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we are going to recap all of it today. I am excited, happy, thrilled to announce that no drama on today's podcast. We are talking football and football only today about minicamp day two and all of the news and notes coming out. And let's start today with a couple of news and notes that aren't necessarily minicamp related, but Mike Tomlin interviewed yesterday after minicamp and said that there are no talks yet between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Of course, we talked yesterday about the contract negotiation and just the fact that reports are that Le'Veon now wants $14.5 million, or that's the minimum he'll accept. We had previously heard $17 million. Tomlin saying that there aren't really talks yet between Le'Veon Bell and the Pittsburgh Steelers this summer, but that talks are expected later in the summer. Now, that's not really surprising to me. I know we heard the Steelers and Kevin Colbert talk about the fact that they were shelving the Le'Veon Bell contract talks during draft time because of the amount of scouting that was happening and draft preparation in general, and that made a lot of sense. Right now, here we are into May and June, and you kind of felt like maybe they would start up talks again, but the fact that they haven't, to me, is no real surprise, right? This is a contract negotiation that has gone on now for two seasons, for 2 years of contract negotiation between these two sides. And so, you know, there's not a lot left that needs to be said, right? What needs to happen in this deal is there needs to be pressure put on both sides, because what's going to have to happen is both sides are going to have to cave in some way in order for a deal to get done. That's just the reality of the situation. And so the only way there's going to be pressure put on this situation is by the deadline getting closer and closer. We are now a month away from that deadline. But really, I think it's going to go right up into the July 15th deadline. There's either going to be a deal done very, very shortly before that date or on that date itself. Otherwise, I think this thing is just going to continue to play itself out. You know, again, as we talked about yesterday, you know, Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers still remain apart as far as what each side is trying to get out of the deal. But maybe considering yesterday's report, it's a little more likely still, though. At the end of the day, it's an unlikely situation that the Steelers get Le'Veon Bell on a long-term deal. Eli Rogers visited minicamp yesterday, still hopes to be re-signed. I'm really glad to see Eli Rogers throughout this rehab process focused on being around the Steelers, even though he's not a member of the Steelers right now. He is still technically a free agent. He is still someone who is trying to rehab from that ACL injury in the playoff game and try to work his way back into it. But just the fact that he's making his presence felt at OTAs. He was at OTA practice a couple weeks back. He's now at minicamp. Just, you know, keeping his head around the system is awesome to see. And I hope he can be re-signed whenever he is healthy. And then let's get into minicamp day two. And as I said, drama-free. No Steeler drama today, which is awesome. We can just talk football. And let's start on the injury front. Juju Smith-Schuster did say during an interview with reporters yesterday that he does have a minor knee problem that kept him out of OTAs, and that's why he was not practicing during the OTAs. We did see him work out a little bit, and this minor knee problem is keeping him out of minicamp as well. He's able to do individual drills, but that's pretty much it. He's calling it an annoyance, and he said he'll be back for training camp. No word yet if this is going to require surgery in any way. I think if he's, you know, being that training camp is about a month away, you would think if there was any surgery, he would either have already had it done, or if it's going to be done now, would keep him out of training camp a little bit. But no signs that he's going to have surgery on it, which is good. But you know, knee problems and a young player like Juju, he's 21 years old. You know, he likes to be a physical type player. It's somewhat of a concern, no doubt about that. Any knee issue is a concern, but hopefully, you know, this is just a minor one and he will be back and ready for training camp, and this will just be a blip in his offseason. Morgan Burnett, the safety the Steelers signed from the Green Bay Packers this offseason, sat out again day two of minicamp. Looks like he's going to sit out the entirety of minicamp at this point. Mike Tomlin calling it a precaution, keeping him out thus far. Morgan Burnett is a guy who definitely has had his fair share of injury problems in his past, and I think it's one of the reasons why the Packers felt comfortable moving on from him, and one of the reasons why the Steelers were able to get him, and there wasn't a ton of competition for Morgan Burnett's services. Look, this is a guy who just has had too many injury problems in the past, but as a football player, he's very, very good. And I think it's one of the things we haven't really talked about on this podcast is you know, we've talked a lot about the young players in this defense that can make this defense better if they were to grow. We've talked a lot about the inside linebacker situation and who's going to start there. We've talked about who's going to play free and who's going to play strong at safety. But what we haven't talked about is what Morgan Burnett brings to this defense. And make no doubt about it, when Morgan Burnett is at his best, when he was in his prime, he was a real playmaker in the Packers secondary. In a Packers secondary that has never been, you know, rife with talent, he was certainly a standout there. And the Steelers defense, you know, you can say a lot of the same things about the Steelers defense today in their, you know, in the amount of talent that they have in that secondary. Morgan Burnett could be a standout this year, and I think the start of that is going to be keeping him healthy. So it's definitely sad to see that he is missing time now with injury so early on in the process. Hopefully he will be ready for training camp, and he says he will be ready for training camp, and hopefully he can stay healthy throughout that process, because again, these guys who have these consistent injury problems throughout the offseason, it does manifest itself in their play in the regular season. We heard during the OTA process that Bud Dupree and TJ Watt were potentially switching sides, or that was something that they were experimenting with. We also heard Keith Butler wanted to try them on the same side of the field at times. And it was all under this the guise of, like, this is an experiment. We're just trying this out. This is not a permanent thing. Now it sounds like, from reports out of minicamp, especially 2 days of minicamp now, that they are officially switching sides for TJ Watt and Bud Dupree. Now, Bud Dupree will be coming from the quarterback's blind side. And Mark Caboli writing on Twitter yesterday that the Steelers feel like Bud Dupree has been a very good pass rusher, that he has done a good job of getting to the quarterback. The problem is he's not a good finisher, and mostly that comes from quarterbacks seeing him coming. And so the Steelers moving him to the blind side, they feel like that will help him, you know, complete those sacks and complete those plays and get the negative yards necessary. It's an interesting take. You know, I don't know that sitting here right now, I don't know that Bud Dupree was as good a pass rusher as, you know, maybe the Steelers are making out, that the improvement he has to make is coming from the blind side. I don't know that that's a one-size-fix-all solution for Bud Dupree. It's something I'm definitely going to look into next week as we do the 2017 re-review and just looking at how many times it, you know, it was evident that Bud Dupree did have a pass to the quarterback, but the quarterback, you know, kind of saw him coming and got out of the way. We'll see how much that really was the case in 2017. But regardless, what I like to see about this is, you know, we've talked during this offseason about the things that need to change defensively in order for this team to get better year over year. And what I love to see about this defense at this point is that they are not just using the excuse that, well, Ryan Shazier was hurt, and that's what caused our defense to get worse throughout the season and culminating in that Jacksonville loss. That they certainly understand that it is a talent issue, it is a schematic issue, it is a communication issue. You know, they are doing things on multiple levels to try and improve this defense. They are certainly not resting on, well, we were a good defense before Ryan Shazier got hurt and we'll be good again in 2018. They are certainly not taking that approach in 2018, which I love to see. And again, I don't know that this Bud Dupree solution is the one size fits all for this defense, but it's certainly an idea, and I like to see this team bringing new ideas to the table. Joey Porter also saying that TJ Watt will have a reduced role on special teams, keeping him fresh for more defensive snaps, and I think that's smart as well. You would expect that TJ Watt going through the entire regular season, he now knows what is going to be expected of his body throughout the season. You know, the transition from college to the NFL is always, you know, it's always a tough one for players. And they talk about the rookie wall that players hit. And it mostly comes from the fact that most colleges play 11, 12, you know, 13 games, you know, with a title game or the bowl game or whatnot. In the NFL, you know, you're playing 16 games, and then the Steelers played 17 last year when you consider the playoff game. So, you know, there's a ton more wear and tear on their body than they have previously experienced in college, and that's why you see rookie players who maybe start fast but don't necessarily end the season with that same, you know, with the same fervor. But TJ Watt had that. You know, TJ Watt certainly had, you know, that happened to him at the end of last season. He was, not to say that he was a bad player, that he wasn't an impact player, but the impact that you felt out of TJ Watt from, let's say, weeks 1 through 8 was not the same that you felt, you know, from 8 through 16. And so what I'm hoping is that, you know, going into 2018, number one, he's going to be preparing himself better this offseason for a 16-game season. He's going to understand what is going to be required of him. But also, you know, not putting him on special teams is going to continue to keep him fresh later on in the season. And as we've talked about at edge rusher, you know, it's not like the Steelers are deep with talent there at edge rusher. It is really going to be the Bud Dupree and TJ Watt show. And as those guys go, so goes the Steelers pass rush. And so, you know, keeping TJ Watt healthy and keeping him fresh is going to be very, very important. And so I like the idea of taking him off of special teams, hopefully. And the other thing about that is that, you know, kick return is not going to be what it was a year ago. Kickoffs are going to be so strange now with no running starts and no wedge blocks and all of that. I don't think anyone knows what to expect from kickoffs in general. So TJ Watt not being on special teams, we'll see what impact that has on special teams itself. But certainly on TJ Watt, I think that will have a positive impact. Jalen Samuels getting looks all over the field and being used as that X factor we thought he would be out of college. Remember, Jalen Samuels taken in the fifth round of the draft out of NC State as a kind of hybrid player, definitely a running back on the, you know, on the roster, but not a traditional running back in that, you know, it's a 3 yards and cloud of dust type guy. He is certainly someone who can be lined up all over the field. He was at NC State. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. Reminds me a lot of what the Steelers wanted to get out of Dre Archer a little bit, out of Chris Rainey. Those two guys didn't work out for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it has certainly been something the Steelers have experimented with in this offense. And it was interesting to see how the Steelers were gonna approach Jalen Samuels. He's in minicamp so far. You know, he's definitely catching the ball out of the backfield, lining him up out wide. You know, using him in a lot of different roles. And I'm sure that during preseason and training camp, we're gonna get more and more of a look of Jalen Samuels. You know, Dre Archer was somewhat of a preseason wonder in his right. You know, making some big plays in preseason. And just having packages created for him. When it came to the NFL, you know, again, that those packages were kind of fewer and fewer. And again, a lot of this has to do with when are we taking Le'Veon Bell off the field, right? That is going to be the big question when it comes to the use of James Conner, the use of Jalen Samuels. We're hearing good things about James Conner. We're hearing good things about Jalen Samuels. But none of that's going to matter if the Steelers still want to use Le'Veon Bell for 400 touches in a year, right? You know, these things are going to be more towards an eye for 2019. So we'll keep an eye on Jalen Samuels, but I am glad to see that he is getting looks as an X factor and not just as a running back. Keith Butler saying today that they have not, or yesterday, excuse me, saying that they have not yet decided on who the free safety is going to be. You know, again, we've heard it's kind of a left-right thing at this point, and we're unsure during OTAs. Is that just an OTA thing? Is that just trying to determine? They don't know who the free safety is going to be yet, and so just playing left-right means that both guys get a shot, and then they'll ultimately determine, or are they really going to go left-right throughout the season? Keith Butler saying yesterday, quote, who's going to be the post safety? And just so you know, post safety, free safety, same thing. Who's going to be the post safety? Who's going to be down in the box? We haven't made that decision yet. We'll wait until training camp. I like Terrell. He's very vocal. That's the great thing about him, but he hasn't played at the NFL level. We know Morgan can play. We know Sean Davis can play. We know Sean Davis has a lot of range. So they haven't, you know, again, training camp is really going to determine what happens with that role. But if you listen to Keith Butler there, it does sound like Sean Davis has the inside track at free safety. Just from an athletic perspective, you know, he is the guy who's going to be able to go sideline to sideline. And I wouldn't say Sean Davis has been a ball hawk throughout his career, but he's made his fair share of interceptions throughout the years. And, you know, some of them have been the kind of easy overthrows over the middle that Sean Davis has been able to get. But we'll see how he transitions into a free safety role. I think out of the three guys that Keith Butler brought up there, whether it be Terrell Edmonds, I mean, he's a rookie. He didn't really play a lot of free safety in college. There's going to be a transitionary period for him, and there's no real reason to force him into that role this early in his career. With Morgan Burnett, of course, he can play free safety, but he's better in the box. Sean Davis, the problems there are you started him at nickel corner, then you moved him to strong, and now you're going to move him to free. And, you know, this is what, year three for Sean Davis. So that's three different positions in three different years. Not ideal, but I think it's what is called for at this point with the position, right? Is you need a free safety. You need a free safety who's athletic, who can go sideline to sideline. And Sean Davis seems to fit that bill. So again, it's something that we're going to wait and see till training camp, but you have to figure that at this point, Sean Davis will be that guy. Now, the other thing there is he brings up Terrell Edmunds and likes the vocalness and all of that out of Terrell. You have to wonder, like an Artie Burns or like a Sean Davis or one of these guys who Steeler rookie defenders don't usually see the field very early in their career, but what we've started to see out of a Keith Butler defense is those guys getting worked in throughout the year. We saw that with Artie Burns, who kind of started off as a dime defender, and then by the Miami game that year, which I think was like week 6 or 7, was the starting outside corner. Same thing with Sean Davis, started as the nickel corner, you know, didn't really play that well there, ended up moving and starting at safety about midseason. You have to wonder if with Terrell Edmunds, if that could be a career trajectory for him as well, right? You know, there's no telling that Sean Davis moving to free safety is going to be, you know, a positive experiment. With Morgan Burnett, again, there's no telling that he's going to stay healthy throughout the entire season. So you certainly could see a way where Terrell Edmunds could work himself into this, into the starting lineup earlier than we may think. And it's interesting that, you know, when talking about who's going to play free safety, that Terrell Edmunds' name is being brought up this early in the process. And then Keith Butler also saying yesterday that tackling will be an emphasis in training camp, and citing the number of missed tackles a season ago that was a reason why the Steeler defense disappointed. And this is another thing, you know, again, that we talk about the Steelers defense and the improvements they have to make. And, you know, I mean, Keith Butler is right. It has to be guys like Bud Dupree and TJ Watt being consistent pass rushers, and especially Bud Dupree in that role. We have to get more talent out of all these players, but there's schematic changes that we need to make, and whether that's Bud Dupree and TJ Watt switching sides, or whether that's using more four-man fronts against the run, whether it's using more dime on third down packages, right? These are all things we've heard about this defense trying to do this offseason. We've also heard them focus on communication, which was such an issue a year ago. Now focusing on tackling. There's so many things about this defense that can be improved from where they were a year ago. And is one of those things that does get me a little excited, or at least piques my interest in that, okay, you know, at least we are addressing the issues at hand, right? Tackling issue, communication issue, schematics issue, talent issue, right? They've addressed all of those things. Now it's just about making it happen on the football field. So I like at least where our head's at defensively. We're not resting on the fact that we lost our impact player, so, you know, that's why it was bad, and we'll try to improve on that next season. That is not the mindset of this defense going into 2018. It is certainly more of a mindset of, yes, we lost Ryan Shazier, but there are a ton of other things that were going wrong before he got hurt that we can improve on to make this defense better in 2018, and that is what I like to see. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow to wrap up minicamp. Day 3 is today, and I'll wrap it up tomorrow right here on Locked On Steelers.